What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, I'm safe and secure from all along. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread, what have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarm, leaning, yes I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, safe and secure from all. You know I'm leaning, yes I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood, no lovelier spot in the dell. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Lost my place. Oh, come to the church in the wildwood, to the trees where the wild flowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted, we will weep by the side of the tomb. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil. How sweet on a clear Sabbath morning to listen to the clear ringing bell. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the veil. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil. From the church in the valley by the wild wood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from this spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the veil. Oh, come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the veil. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little in the veil. Amen. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy lost demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength. secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
Let's pray again. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise You again this day. Ask You to speak to our hearts. What a blessing fellowshipping before You, with You, with each other, worshiping You. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for heaven? You've probably heard that before. But God's heaven. Are you ready for God's heaven? Not our version of heaven, which more often than not resembles a glorified version of life on this earth, minus the pain and disappointment. No, I'm speaking of God's heaven, the one He describes in His Bible, such as the two primary scenes revealed in today's text. Angels dressed in white coming out of the holy temple of heaven with God's final judgments on the earth, and saints of God standing beside a sea of glass mingled with fire, singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. How do you get ready for an event like that? What do you wear? What kind of shoes, if any, are appropriate for standing on the shoreline of the sea of glass? What does a person wear in the presence of God? And just where can we find that information? I thought it would help us, so I searched online for how to prepare for a black tie event. I thought, well, maybe this can help us. I found this information. How to dress for a black tie event. If you have received an invitation for a black tie event, you may be wondering what you are expected to wear. Black tie events are usually very formal, and wearing the wrong attire will make you stand out as rude or inappropriate. Depending on the event, you may not be allowed to attend if you are not dressed appropriately. However, knowing the expectations of such an event can help you determine what to wear. Read the invitation closely. There are subtle differences between black tie optional, black tie preferred, and black tie. Knowing the time of day and the time of year for the event, as well as what kind of event it is, can help you determine how to dress best and wear an appropriate tuxedo. A tuxedo is usually made of black wool and includes first a jacket and matching pants. Select appropriate accent pieces. Rent a tuxedo if necessary. Wear a black bow tie. Complete your look with black shined dress shoes. Be prepared for the weather. Okay, may be helpful if we're going to an event on this earth that's a black tie event, but not so much for preparing to be in the presence of God. How do we prepare for the majesty and the glory of God? So anyway, back to the internet. It was helpful before. I did another online search, but this time I searched for how to dress for standing in the presence of God. I didn't have nearly as good of results in this search like I did for the black tie event. But these people in our text today, they were ready, completely ready, properly clothed. How was that? They were completely out of their league. They had gone from battling the beast to the presence of Almighty God, and now they are standing in heaven beside a glass sea mingled with fire and watching. Now get this, and watching as seven angels come out of the holy temple in heaven with the final judgments of God. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. Revelation 15, verse 1. Revelation 15, verse 1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. Seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was open, and out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen with golden sashes around their chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat and cursed, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare for the way for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place, which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake, such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. We have really three scenes here. We have the seven angels with the seven plagues. We have like scene 1A and scene 1B, because it shows them coming out with the seven plagues, and then it gives more detail later. It shows them. Now, just this, we got to really slow down the tape. Just slow that video down and picture what these saints, well, let me just, the overview again. The saints coming out of the temple, the saints standing beside the sea of glass, and then the second part of that scene with the angels coming out of the temple. So look at what these people are observing. Now, this isn't just heaven. I mean, it's, I don't know how to say it, but it's heaven in all of its amazement and glory. But then we're talking about the holy place of the temple. These angels are coming out of the holy temple of heaven. And what do they have? Well, they have the seven plagues. They are given the seven bowls of wrath, of God's wrath. What's also very significant about this is this is the very last outpouring of God's judgment of his wrath on the earth. This completes it. This is the very last thing. Now, we'll see this carried on. We'll see these effects of these bowl judgments on through chapter 18 and into 19. We'll see the great white throne in chapter 20. But with that seventh bowl, that was the end. It's complete. Now it's complete. Jesus Christ said salvation was complete. He said it's finished. We maybe have heard telestai, paid in full. Well, now we have the other. It is finished. And it's these seven angels. And if you can picture the solemnity, we've talked for a while going through our study in Revelation, that the tone of worship, the somber tone, the tone of also of praise of God, of affirmation of everything he is. And we see that again and again. Lord God Almighty, just and true. Everything our God does is right. He doesn't take lightly pouring out his wrath on this world. But he will do it because it's necessary, because he is a just and a holy God. So we have these people then. So we've got scene one, the angels coming out. Scene 1B, where they shows them, gives the detail, them coming out of the temple. Scene two is the people standing by the sea. These are scenes in heaven. The third scene is chapter 16, and it's a scene on earth. And it's just the opposite of everything that's happening in heaven. Instead of being in God's blessing, instead of being just there taking in everything, here are these people saved by grace. See, I brought this up. It's like, how do you prepare for this? Well, you don't. Here's how they prepared for it. You've got on the back of your study sheet, Revelation 12:11, and they have conquered him, because it says, all those standing here, now there will probably be others in audience. If I had to wonder about it, I would say we're probably there too in some respect. But we know specifically the ones who conquered the beast. Okay? It says, and they had conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. So how were they prepared? How did they know how to dress for this occasion? Well, they didn't, did they? That's the whole point. And that's why people will not be prepared. None of us are prepared to take that next step on our own when we die, when the end of this life comes. And we looked at last week, that's why we make that decision ahead of time. And we talked about our hurting world, and we were praying this our hurting world, and I'm thinking as we're going through that, and there is God's offer, but it's being refused. But we see that they, instead of giving God glory, what did they do? They cursed God. They cursed God. But in heaven, we see those who did look to God. We see, well, how did this group do that? How did they end up there? Well, you know, all of our standard answers, they believed in Jesus Christ. They received his gift of eternal life. They were washed by the blood of the Lamb. But they had some things going for them. They were grounded. They had a solid foundation. What was that solid foundation? The blood of the Lamb. Their solid foundation was the blood of the Lamb. They were visionary. They had a powerful sense of vision and purpose, the majesty and glory of God. See, how do you follow Christ even if it means losing your physical life? You have to be looking far ahead, don't you? No. See, these people are there because they had that pictured in their minds. In fact, Paul calls us to that. He wrote to the Colossians. He said, if you're a believer, we're going to read that verse later if I get to it, but if you're a believer, set your mind on the realities of heaven. That's how earth comes into focus. That's how we have our perspective on earth. That's what these people had, a vision of the majesty and the glory of God. Just picture how that worked out for them. We have that expression, we say, oh, well, how'd that work out for them? Well, let's look at that. How'd that work out for them? They were rejected by this world, weren't they? They were fighting the beast here on this earth. Maybe they were running for their lives. Maybe they were half starved to death. Maybe they saw friends and family beheaded. Maybe they were the ones beheaded. Well, how's that good? How's that the blessing like we talked about last week? Blessed is to die in the Lord. Well, how'd that turn out for them? Well, they changed locations, didn't they? They're no longer on a war-torn earth dominated by the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet, and the Antichrist. Where are they now? They're in the presence of God. They didn't have to know how to dress because they're cared for by God. And here they are. This scene has always captured me, probably you too. The sea, the glassy sea, I think the King James might call it. It's shown, you've got in your notes different places where Ezekiel spoke of it, where Moses spoke of it. This amazing place. So how'd that work out for them? That they had a gospel that was worth dying for. Is your gospel what you believe? Is it worth dying for? The life that you have in your mind that Christ offers you, is it worth dying for? That's what they had. In fact, Christ says that's required. So they had a firm foundation, the blood of the Lamb. They were visionary. They had a powerful sense of vision and purpose. And they were faithful. They did what they could do. You have several verses in your study sheets, and you just want to see that where they kept to the testimony of Jesus Christ. It wasn't anything real complicated, anything real sophisticated and elaborate. They trusted in Christ and they kept their testimony to the end. How'd that work out for them? Wow. Here they are, these weak, finite, frail human beings we talked about last week. They've been ushered into eternity by God Himself. The mortal has become immortal. The perishable has become imperishable. They've been given new bodies. Here they are standing by the sea of glass, the flames of God's judgment, not judgment to them though, it's flames of God's holiness, His righteousness. And now, if you could, it's like, what is this? It's opening, this temple is there, it's opening. And seven angels are coming out. This is amazing. This should knock us back in our seats to see these things. Are they out of place? Are they feeling uncomfortable? Are they feeling like they wore a flowered bow tie to a black tie event? Are they any at all? Do they at all feel out of place or not welcome there? Or no, not, you know, they're fully accepted, fully embraced. They are part of it. Why are they part of it? Because of the blood of the Lamb, and they maintained their testimony. They shouldn't feel like that, not in our minds, but it's what God has done in their lives. This is what heaven is, folks, not some silly book that we've come up with stuff in our minds and well, I don't even want to, I'll stay away from that. God teaches us what heaven is like, and this is what it's like. It's like His glory, His majesty. Are we living with that heaven? He tells us to put our minds on that heaven. We see the people that didn't, who couldn't accept that. We see the glimpses in chapter 16 where the people of the, we have another a glimpse of Armageddon coming. We see that, I think it was the sixth angel, yeah, poured out. God even helped them prepare. He poured out and it dried up the Euphrates. Now the army will be able to move across land and come up to challenge him, the great city at Jerusalem. Babylon, possibly a city. Now, just say possibly and hear possibly a city. It's got to be like a world-renowned city. It's got to be like a city like Rome. Or it's got to be a city like New York City, something like that. That's just the world. It's the pinnacle of the world. The economy, the politics, everything are tied to that. We see a glimpse of that. That's what we'll be looking at in chapters 18 and 19. But we see all of that in the darkness. But those who have followed Christ, how did that turn out for them? Well, they were standing fully acceptable, received in the presence of God Almighty. You can't get a more holy scene than what we're looking at today, the holy temple of heaven and seven angels coming out. And the history of earth, this will be the last judgment of God because basically earth is going to be finished. So back to, are you ready for heaven? Are we ready for that heaven? Is that what we have in mind? Not earth glorified, not these sentimental thoughts that we have, but are we ready for God's heaven? And are we living in view of that? A diagnostic question. A diagnostic question. What is most important in your life? Now you're in church, so I know, you know, if we ask this in Sunday school, what are, you know, if Daryl asks us this in Sunday school, we know what the answer to be. Oh, well, the Lord's most important. That's not the question I'm asking. I'm not asking the answer that you give in Sunday school. I'm not asking the answer that you give because, well, this is what I've learned. This is what I've, quote unquote, I've known for decades. No, that's not, I'm asking. What is most important in your life? What is the focus of your life? Who or what has your attention? You may wonder or even question or doubt whether it is valid to spend this much time looking ahead, asking questions about heaven, etc. So let me read something to you from the Apostle Paul, the verse I alluded to earlier. He writes to the Colossians, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. What's he telling us there? The realities of... Live with that vision in mind that one day we're going to be there. This scene described, we're going to be there in one way or another. Maybe not specifically that group right beside the sea of glass, but be there in one way. He said, to find my place. Set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. So is he in the place of honor right now? Who or what is most important in our lives? Our jobs, our careers, our families? Who or what is most important in our lives? God, Jesus Christ on this earth, he always directed that to him. In fact, he said if we weren't willing to give up everything else, if we weren't willing to lose those lives, that we would not gain the life that he offers. He says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. This is Paul in Colossians. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Thinking in this way, having our attention focused in this way, brings this world into focus. If you are a true Christian, a believer, if you are a Christian, a true believer, one who has trusted in Jesus Christ and has received his gift of eternal life, then your focus, my focus, our focus should now be the realities of heaven. We should be living with this in mind, this coming end of days, eschaton, the theologians call it, these final times. We should be living in view of that. And how do we know the realities of heaven? Only from the Word of God, only from His Bible, not what we imagine heaven to be or hope it to be. Heaven is about the majesty and glory of God. So are we living in view of the majesty and glory of God? So are we living in view of the majesty and glory of God? And if we are not, if we run those diagnostics, if we're not living in view of the majesty and glory of God, maybe we're not ready for heaven. Maybe that's something we need to put before our Lord. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the man? Bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they? Fountain flowing. soul unclean, oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are they?